Voices of VR podcast. Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continuing my coverage from Venice Immersive 2025, today's episode is with Ghost Town, which is a part of the Best of selection at Venice Immersive. And so this is a single-player puzzle-adventure VR game. It's done by the same creators who created The Room, which they're known for their really exquisite environmental design. And so this is overall an adventure game where you're basically set within the 80s, within London, and you're searching for your lost brother. You're the sister of the brother, and you're trying to solve this mystery. And along the way, you have to basically help these ghosts transition from being in this kind of liminal space into the afterlife. And so you have all this interface between these supernatural elements as well as these puzzle-like game-like elements. So the blending and blurring of what's real and what's this fantasy supernatural aspect. It's really quite satisfying to both go through these amazingly designed worlds, but also to play through the story. And so the center of gravity is mostly, it's a game, so it's very much of the fire element and after presence. The secondary center of gravity is environmental presence, where you really feel like you're transported into this world. Very amazing design. It's also more than their previous games. They're very much focused on it being narrative driven. They have a lot of strong characters. There's a lot of things that were designed fit back into the game because of the narrative that they're creating. There's also motion captured characters in a way that is really showing this overall story that's kind of driving you to continue to play this game. And then finally, there's a variety of different puzzles, so a lot of different mental friction that you're getting. And you're going into the context of this adventure to these supernatural mundane aspects and, you know, helping these ghosts transition from a liminal space into the afterlife. And it's very much a adventure type of experience, as well as these aspects of solving these puzzles. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Tom happened on Friday, August 29th, 2025 at Venice Immersive in Venice, Italy. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
So hi there, I am Tom Seed. I was the producer on Ghost Town, which was created by the studio that I work for, Fireproof Games, based out of Guildford in the United Kingdom. So like I say, I was the producer on the project. The other members of the team are comprised of programmers, artists, designers. And yeah, we're kind of excited to have the project here at Venice Immersive. Yeah.
Great. Maybe you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into the space.
Sure. So absolutely. I studied video game design and production management at Abertay University back in 2010. And then my first kind of job in the video game industry was as a QA tester for a small mobile company up in Scotland. From there, I actually sidestepped into the visual effects industry. So I spent about 2.5 years doing visual effects production for TV and film, and then got the job with Fireproof doing video game production, and that's what I've been doing ever since then.
And so did you work on the previous projects, like The Room as well?
Yes, so I joined Fireproof just as they released, in fact, the same week as they released The Room Old Sins on mobile devices. And then from that point, it was kind of helping them with porting the other games in the series onto Steam and onto the Nintendo Switch. And then, of course, I worked on the Room VR A Dark Matter from start to finish, and now Ghost Town as well from start to finish too. So,
okay. And so, yeah, maybe you could just give a bit of a pitch for the topic or theme of Ghost Town.
Sure, absolutely. So Ghost Town is not dissimilar to the Room series, but it's a VR puzzle adventure game set in 1980s London / Britain, primarily in London, but you do take a trip up to an island off the coast of Scotland. But you take on the role of Edith Penrose, who is an Irish witch turned ghost hunter. But Edith's brother Adam mysteriously disappears, so it's up to Edith to use her supernatural talents and her wits to try and figure out what's happened to him. But along the way, you'll be traveling off to, like I say, an island off the coast of Scotland. You'll be exploring a disused underground station temple underneath London. But yeah, that's getting into things that are probably a bit further into the game that I should keep my mouth shut about. So yeah, it's all, the through story though is all about trying to figure out what's happened to Adam. And there's a host of characters you meet along the way, a host of ghosts that you meet along the way, hence the name Ghost Town. And it's kind of Edith's speciality to figure out what's keeping these ghosts in turmoil on the kind of human plane and help them move on from the human plane, basically.
Yeah, so I had a chance to play through about the first third, and I'm waiting till I get back home to play through the rest. But there seems to be a similar mechanic where you're going back and forth between a little bit of a story, and then you go back into some adventure and puzzles, and then, you know, more story. Kind of like there's a consistent gameplay loop, I guess you could say. So how would you describe the gameplay loop of Ghost Town?
Yeah, so I think we have much more of a narrative swing on Ghost Town than we have done in the Room series. I wouldn't necessarily say the narrative in the Room games was an afterthought, but it's much more prominent in Ghost Town. But yeah, I think there is a balance of narrative cutscenes that we have in the game, spliced between sections of puzzle gameplay. But where it might differ a little bit is that some of these puzzle gameplay involves collecting items that are related to a ghost. That kind of gives you a bit of a narrative swing on what's been happening in their life and what will help them move on to kind of the next life, let's say. But yeah, the core loop is a little bit of cinematic-y stuff, a little bit of narrative, and a bunch of puzzly gameplay, and then kind of repeating that throughout the game.
Yeah, and I think it's unique in the sense that a lot of the previous puzzle games, like The Room and others, don't really have a lot of characters, you know, a lot of room-based environmental storytelling that you're seeing. But because it is such a character-driven story, and that seems to be something that is, you know, maybe technologically, talking to Eloise Singer of Singer Studios, she would say that, you know, the fidelity that you can have in The Rooms is a lot higher than you can have the fidelity of the characters that can be hard to match it. I felt like you were able to find a style that could have this stylized, almost cartoony feel, but have still kind of more of a photorealistic context. And it felt like it was okay to have that mashup. But just curious to hear some of the discussions around finding that mix of how to push the fidelity of the characters to try to match as best you could the really exquisite environments that you're designing.
Yeah, so we have a super talented art team at Five, just team in general, realistically. But we've always excelled at creating environments that are realistic. So we knew that we wanted to keep that as the style for Ghost Town. Now, characters, as you've mentioned, is something that we've not really done too much of before, certainly not having full 3D modeled characters. But it was always a case of, like, how far can we push this to be real, but not, like, sticking out like a sore thumb cartoony, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, we managed to find a right balance of that, I think. We tried our best to just get it to the point where they sat in the environment nicely and didn't stick out in any way. And I think we've achieved that with all of the characters that we have in the game.
Yeah, I thought that the acting and the story was the real anchor to this piece that was really quite compelling, that made me want to keep going to solve the different puzzles, to see what happens next, to go on this whole journey. And so when you're designing this piece, I'm just curious to hear if you had set forth what the structure of the story was going to be, because it feels like with The Room is maybe driven by the gameplay and the interactions rather than, you know, starting with the story. And but this feels like it's kind of driven by a really coherent story in the arc. And so just curious to hear a bit about that process of going back and forth between designing each of the environments and the gameplay, but also, like, if the script was pretty well set, that you knew where you were going on this.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I would say The Room game certainly is much more about the gameplay, and the kind of narrative side of things maybe came after the fact. With Ghost Town, I'd say initially we started designing it with not too much of an idea of what the script would be. We knew what we wanted it to be about ghosts in some way, shape or form, and hunting and tracking them down. But how that kind of developed, you know, how that chopped and changed, rather, was paramount to the kind of script being made, and then having Edith as a main character and having the ghost hunting side of things, for example, changed from being, maybe not necessarily changed, but the first prototype that we had was a lot more kind of like action-y, where you're avoiding projectiles that the ghost is throwing at you. And as soon as we had Edith as a main character, and we kind of changed it a little bit to be more of a narrative approach to the ghost hunting side of things. And that was purely based on the script coming through. But that script was changing until maybe about a year before we launched the game. So the development of Ghost Town in its entirety was about 4 years. And that script kind of, we have multiple iterations of the script, of course, but yeah, it didn't kind of properly lock down until around about a year before the end of the project. And there were still kind of little changes here and there, but, you know, of course, we went through a number of iterations. That's not to say that It would have been nice to have a lockdown script beforehand, potentially, but it did allow us that flexibility to change things and to streamline the process more if we needed to. And that ended up happening with Ghost Town. We went from what was potentially a slightly bigger project to a much more streamlined approach, and that was absolutely for the good of the project that we kind of made that decision.
Yeah, and my recollection is that with the room and like Red Matter, that there is a bit of a waypoint locomotion system where you'd have specific points you could go to. And it feels like in this piece, you have a little bit more of like free locomotion to go around. And so the trade-off is that you get the sense of being able to direct attention in very particular ways with the waypoint system. But the downside of teleporting in that you are maybe diminishing your sense of environmental presence. And, you know, some people like free locomotion, that you can have an option here. But, you also teleport where you still have the teleport where you're disrupting that sort of environmental continuity. But just curious to hear around that decision to switch to more free locomotion in a way that you have other challenges of how to direct attention with like little white dots or things that are shiny, or you have a hint system. If people don't know what to look at, you can look at the hints if people want to. So it seems like there's other ways of compensating the way that you've architected the ghost town that allows this freedom to move around the space. I'm just curious a little bit more around the discussions to kind of move towards more of that format.
Sure, absolutely. So yeah, you're dead on. The Room VR had teleport points basically throughout a level, so you kind of knew exactly where you needed to be for each given thing. But the Room game was very, very heavy on the puzzles, so we wanted to make sure that players knew exactly where they were going to be so that they weren't fumbling around in a space where, you know, there could be a number of interesting things for them to look at and they just get confused and frustrated by not knowing exactly where they should be looking. And with Ghost Town, we kind of knew that for whatever the next project we're going to take on, we'd like it to be full locomotion. And partly that was one of the bits of feedback we got from players as well, is that they really enjoyed the environments in the Room games and they wanted to explore. They wanted to look behind statues and peer into dark corners of a space, and we just, you know, weren't offering that kind of flexibility, I guess. So with Ghost Town, it was something that we wanted to add in there. And because there's a lot more traversing environments in Ghost Town, we have much grander scale environments, and I wouldn't say necessarily like less puzzling or anything like that, but it just felt like this style of a project with a much more narrative approach really kind of complemented the free locomotion that we have in the title.
Yeah, and because you are talking around the supernatural aspects of ghosts, it affords you a way of modulating space in unique or different ways. Just some puzzles where you walk on some side of the room and there's almost like a change blindness thing where the room changes, but it's sort of a trippy experience to, when you first go through it, because you have a memory of a place and then you go from another perspective and it changes. But also just kind of having more supernatural things that are happening with things, time going backwards and forwards based upon your puzzle actions. And so, yeah, just curious to hear around kind of the story world of magic and ghosts and the supernatural and what that opened up for you from a design perspective or what you can start to do with that.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so Ghost Town is set in almost like a parallel world to our own, where magic is a known thing and ghosts are kind of a known thing. But with the, specifically with anything that involves a ghost, we wanted to have it be a little bit of a kind of a trippy experience where, you know, for example, you might enter a lighthouse and it seems normal, if not a little bit creepy to begin with, but then as you kind of traverse up the lighthouse, it suddenly becomes a little bit more abstract and strange and like a fragmented version of what you expect this lighthouse to be. And in this regard, you're kind of entering into like the ghost's psyche version of this space, where it's spliced between his former residence and what he remembers of the lighthouse. And that is kind of what the puzzling is around as well, like the kind of the functionalities that he would have been doing or the kind of trinkets he would have been interacting with while he was a lighthouse keeper. And yeah, we have, like you say, the weirdness and the kind of supernatural element allows us just to play around with a lot of different ideas. That the one that you're referring to is kind of like a portal system where you can stand in one position, look to the left, you see one thing, look to the right, you see another thing, and you might not quite realize that's happening to begin with. And it's a nice way of kind of discombobulating the player almost, and then when they suddenly realize, it's like, oh wow, okay, so I need to go back and do this thing in a slightly different way for it to all make sense. And we have, yeah, various kind of elements of that throughout the game, but yeah, certainly having a big supernatural twist on things was very enjoyable to work on and play around with.
When I think of fireproof games, I think of this experience of these games that have just really exquisite environmental design, just really pushing what's even possible with the fidelity of what you can do on a mobile chipset. So just curious to hear a little bit around how that came to be, of that this studio really came to be known for the optimization and pushing the graphical fidelity of these VR games.
Sure. So yeah, we have an amazingly talented code team at Fireproof, and yeah, they worked their wizardry and magic basically getting Ghost Town looking as nice as it does on the headset. We utilize Space Warp on the device in order to kind of make the most out of the system itself. But yeah, there's a lot of kind of tech wizardry that's gone into the fidelity of the environments, and yeah, like I say, credit to the team at Fireproof for being able to pull it off and making it all work, really. Yeah, I'm not sure what else I have to say about this at the moment.
Yeah, my own experience of it is that part of the thing that draws me back into these games and experiences is both the environmental design, and especially in Ghost Town, the story is really quite compelling to trace the evolution of the characters and this journey that you're going on. But yeah, I think it helps just the fact that you're going into these interesting spaces, but also the kind of magical element that's also faded in there. I think that, you know, you're able to kind of flip into these other realms as well and kind of have, yeah, just the transportive nature of VR that allows you to take the users on a spatial journey. And, you know, there was quite a lot more environmental storytelling before, but now maybe leaning more into explicit narrative. There's a lot more character driven, but still having the rooms be a part of the story in a way. Like another character of the story feels like the environments. So I'm not sure if you explicitly think of it in that way, but the world building seems to be a pretty key part of the experiences that you're creating.
So yeah, the world building itself, like I say, we wanted it to be very supernatural. We wanted it to have a spin of magic being this kind of known entity. Like at some point in the game, you go to the house of a grand warlock, and he has this kind of ground floor that is fully made up of this museum that's full of supernatural trinkets, and it kind of gives you a bit more of a, it just shows us a little bit more depth to the world of like all these kind of magical supernatural things that have been collected over time, and it kind of really makes you think of how vast and open the world is in terms of the magical side of things.
Can you talk a bit about the makeup of the team that's working on like a project like this, like artists and how many people and what kind of roles they were doing on a project like this?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a team of 21 people at the moment, and that is split between 4 software engineers, around about 6 or 7 artists. We've got 2 or 3 designers, a creative director, and for this project actually we ended up hiring a few different roles that we hadn't had in the studio before. So we've got an animator, a specific animator, because of course we've got the characters that need a lot of animation work. We have a specific VFX artist, a specific technical artist, a concept artist, and I think we hired another junior artist as well at the time for this project. So right now we're as big as we've ever been as a studio, being 21 people. And I don't think we would want to grow much more than that as a studio. I think we're quite happy at that size, that scale. But yeah, everybody kind of did a fantastic job in pulling together for Ghost Town.
Is there a narrative designer as well?
So we have a script writer called Cara Ellison. She's a very talented lady. So she did a lot of the script work, and then it was kind of a hybrid of our creative director and Cara working together to kind of come up with the narrative and the script for the project.
And in terms of the characters and the animation, was there any motion capture, or was it all driven by animation?
Yes, there was motion capture. So towards the start of the project, we're kind of having a little think about what the best motion capture solution would be for a studio of our scale. And we landed on an Xsense suit. So it's kind of a suit you can order into the studio, which is what we've done. We've got 2 or 3 of them now of different sizes, just so that we can hire whoever we want to from a motion cap actor perspective. So all of the human characters or ghost characters in Ghost Town are motion captured. So had a lot of data come out of all of those motion capture sessions. We had a couple of the characters being played by members of the team, and then the majority of them being handled by external mocap actors. And then we just hired a couple of spaces in Guildford to do those. One of them was a church hall, and one of them was a room in a different Guildford Institute building. So, we kind of made what we had around us work.
Yeah, and I'm just curious to hear a bit around the changing ecosystem of games within the context of the MetaQuest platform. I know that Meta themselves has sort of emphasized to a certain degree this like move and shift and pivot towards free-to-play games, and you know, it's the shifting landscape with their emphasis on Horizon Worlds. You've got open up the App Lab. Just curious to hear if Fireproof Games has created a big enough name for yourself to have some insulation from some of those larger ecosystem changes, or if you're starting to see the way in which that the platform itself is directing people in a certain direction that maybe the opposite for what you're doing, which is these really handcrafted bespoke games that are not necessarily in the free-to-play game context. So just curious to hear any reflections you have on the kind of changing ecosystem and what you're seeing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, of course, we've noticed the shift with the MetaQuest platform over the years. Like you've alluded to, it's got a lot more of a free-to-play spin on it at the moment, with Worlds being a big focus. And we've also kind of noticed the demographic of user being a little bit younger than maybe it was 5 years ago when we launched the Room VR. Of course, that's something we need to bear in mind as well, is when the Room VR came out, it was a very different time in the VR landscape. Different headsets were available, but also we launched that game at the start of a pandemic. And also, coincidentally, in the same week that the Valve Index dropped with Half-Life Alyx. So there was a lot of eyes on VR at that point in time, and it certainly didn't hurt us that we launched the same week as that title. It definitely helped us, I would say. You know, people have this new fancy bit of kit, and they are looking for more things to play on it. And yeah, we were one of those games that were just available in that same week or coming out in the same week. Now, how that's kind of changed a little bit for Ghost Town, like I say, we've noticed that shift, and there's not as much of a presence as maybe there once was on the MetaQuest store for games in the forefront. It's not to say it doesn't exist, it absolutely does. But yeah, it's certainly a little bit of a change from when we launched the Room VR, but there are a number of factors that come into that.
I did notice that there's a number of YouTubers and VR game influencers that had lots of really great things to say about Ghost Town, and I believe it also won an award at Raindance just recently. So yeah, just curious to hear some of the feedback that you've received so far on Ghost Town.
It's been fantastic so far. You know, I think we'd go as far as saying that it's probably our most high praise launch, the most successful launch in terms of people giving us feedback on a title. It's been spectacular, really. So we've been very kind of happy with how players and reviewers and streamers, influencers have taken to the game. It's always lovely to kind of feel that validation of something that you've worked on for quite a long time, getting, you know, very lovely things said about it. Yeah, especially, you know, people have noticed the amount of detail that's gone into the MetaQuest version of the game as well. Of course, when we staggered the launches of each version of the game, so the MetaQuest one came out first, and then we had the Steam version of the game come out in July, and PlayStation VR 2 version will be coming later this year. And it was funny because we were contemplating doing a side-by-side comparison trailer for the PC and the MetaQuest version, but we decided not to in the end because it doesn't come through on a flat screen versus playing it in the headset. But we, of course, have made a number of changes with the PC version, just like higher fidelity graphics, textures, you know, real-time shadows, torch shadows, things like that. You know, there's a number of changes that we made. You know, if you're going to put them side by side on a 2D screen for people to look at, they probably wouldn't notice the nuances quite specifically. Yeah.
And what's it been like to be here at Venice Immersive showing Ghost Town as a part of the Best Of selection?
It's been lovely, yeah. This is our first time in Venice. We had the Room VR was actually showcased here. I forget which specific one. It would have been 4 years ago, I imagine. It would have been post-pandemic. So the Room VR appeared at that, and we have Ghost Town showing at Venice this year, of course. But it's very nice. I think it's the first time that we've seen Ghost Town in a physical space. So it's been nice to kind of see people playing through the demo of the game and seeing their reaction to it. It's always been pretty positive so far. I don't know whether they're just saying that because I'm hovering over their shoulder, but yeah, so far so good. So hopefully that continues.
Yeah, I played the version on my own Quest, but is there a festival version that you created that would be specific to like enough gameplay to kind of get a sense of where the story might be going over like 45 minutes or so?
Yeah, so on Meta, they offer kind of a try before you buy system. So that basically just lets players have like a 30-minute countdown timer to try out the game. So we were going to provide a number of codes to the film festival to try the Meta version of the game, but we decided it would be a lot more sensical for them to just use the demo that we have on Steam, because that takes you through the first kind of level and a half, let's say, and gets you to the point where a ghost hunt is just about to start, and then the demo ends there. So it's a good chunk of the game to kind of get you past the tutorial and then into the first level and kind of really get a sense of what the game is and the world that you're in. So we felt that the demo was, yeah, the best thing that we could put forward. That wasn't created specifically for the festival. We have that demo available on Steam at the moment. But yeah, we felt that was a more sensible approach than having to reset the headset every time on the MetaQuest version of the game.
Yeah, that makes sense. And there's also a hint system in this version. Were there hint systems in previous, like in the room or...
So yeah, with all of our games actually, and this is something that we've had the most amount of feedback from, is saying how much people enjoy how we've done the hint system in Ghost Town. And it's the exact same format of what we had in the Room VR, and indeed with our previous Room games as well. It's basically a three-tiered hint system where there's a little bit of a timer that counts down, and then a little question mark symbol would pop up on the flat screen versions. Inside of the VR versions, it's on your inventory menu. And there's a little tab you can pull down, and it'll give you the first hint, and it'll be a very surface level hint of just like vaguely, you should be looking in this area, or here's a nudge towards how to solve this puzzle. The second one is much more of a hint, but still doesn't give you away the answer. And then the third kind of tier of the hint will pretty much give you the answer, but still try and let you solve it a little bit. In the ones where it's a little bit more complicated, we do have like a diagram of like, hey, here's how to solve this thing. But yeah, we've had a lot of good feedback about the hint system. So yeah, it's always nice that people aren't getting stuck.
Yeah, especially in a festival context where people may be interested to see like what the next story bit might be and not get blocked by a puzzle that they can't figure out. So yeah, I definitely appreciate it in that context. But also, yeah, just if people are more interested in the story or the environments, then they can keep progressing. And it sounds like there's a way to turn it off as well, so if people won't be tempted by it. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's always important to have the option to turn off hints. I think there's always a little bit of a elitist nature sometimes of like, I will not use the hints, they're being pointed out to me but I don't want to use them. It's like, that's fine, you don't have to use them, you can turn them off. You don't even have to turn them off, you just, if you don't want to use them, you don't have to. But I know yeah, people kind of fall into two categories almost, so happy to use them and absolutely want nothing to do with them, which is fair enough, everybody has a different play style.
Yeah, there is this way that you're using these like white dots to point out objects of interest that you should go check out, and some of those you can take and put them in your inventory. I feel like that this also has a trade-off between like, if you had no dots, you may end up walking around spamming everything, and so to prevent that spamming, you focus attention, but then once you focus attention, then you feel like it's, you're holding a hand. So I don't know how you sort of navigate that tension between like, if that's also the thing that you can turn off, or if it's something that you don't want people just walking around spamming, because that also isn't always a great experience.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So those little dots that you're referring to are either for kind of like prompts for Edith to comment about the environment around her, but we also have like a collectible magazine in the game as well, and for the first one of those, it's kind of pointed out to you just so you know, like, hey, this is something you can look for. And I think after the first one is pointed out, we don't call out any of the other kind of collectible magazines, but the points where Edith can comment on the environment are always kind of like highlight if the player gets within a certain range of them. Even today, I think I was speaking to somebody about them playing the demo, and they're like, oh yeah, I kind of enjoyed the little comments and quips that Edith had about the environment here, here, and here. I'm like, ah, did you see the one that is on the stage of the theater though? And they were like, there was one on the stage? I'm like, yeah, there's one on the stage as well. You've got to just walk around the stage, you get to the front of it, and then there's another one that pops up there. So I don't think all of them have kind of been found every time somebody plays through the game, but yeah, they certainly exist if people want a little bit more depth, I guess.
Great. So what's next for Fireproof Games?
So at the moment, we are focusing on getting the PlayStation VR 2 version of Ghost Town out the door. And then after that point, it's just going to be a case of figuring out what comes next. So I imagine we'll kind of be in a prototyping phase for a little bit and just seeing what we think would be the next thing to focus on.
Are there any other VR games that you really draw a lot of inspiration from?
Inspiration from at this point in time, we always enjoy having a look at what's come out and what's new and what other games might be doing that's interesting and seeing how we might have done things differently to them. I mean, certainly from my point of view, something that's come out recently that I actually played while I was here was The Midnight Walk, and that was from a visual standpoint and animation standpoint a very enjoyable experience to sit down, and very spooky as well, which for some reason I didn't anticipate it being quite as spooky as it is, but yeah, it's a very enjoyable little game to play.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Feels like a claymation, handcrafted art style that then's translated into VR, and yeah, just really exquisitely beautiful art direction as well. As you're laying out the different time frames of like 4 years, that puts Ghost Town VR as to like soon after Half-Life Alyx had come out. I don't know if the way that Half-Life Alyx also similarly handled the seamless integration of the cutscenes with characters coming in, but you still being mostly in the same environment, if that also was a bit of an influence for how you decided to approach the cutscenes for Ghost Town.
Yeah, I mean, I think in Half-Life Alyx, you know, they did so many things well and right in the medium, and it's something that we didn't want to change the camera perspective or lock players away. You know, we try to be quite clever with the environment, so you're not up close and personal with the characters. There's always some form of kind of a blockade between you and a character. But yeah, we think there are very good examples. Alyx is certainly one of the shining examples of how to do characters in VR, and certainly there would be an influence from that title when we came to do our cinematics.
Right, and finally, curious to hear what you think the ultimate potential of virtual reality gaming and immersive storytelling might be, and what it might be able to enable.
Sure, it's one of those that like it feels like VR has kind of been on the brink of hitting the mass market for a while now, and it's still kind of not quite reaching that. Of course, there are like bigger and better, and well, not necessarily bigger and better, smaller headsets coming out year on year, and I think, you know, hopefully we'll get to a point where people are a little bit more receptive to, I guess, trying VR again. I think this is probably stemming from another conversation I've had here, but it feels like a lot of people's impression of VR is fundamentally based on their first iteration or their first try of it. I know certainly for myself, I tried VR back in 2013 when the Rift was in its infancy.
Yeah, the DK1.
Exactly that, yeah. And it was a very different experience to what it is today, but like the years passed by between me trying that and then, you know, working on a VR game. And in between that time, I didn't try it at all. You know, I didn't necessarily have the opportunity to, but I've certainly, over the past little while of developing VR, spoken to people who tried it years ago, and because their experience might have made them feel sick or it was a negative one, they aren't as receptive to wanting to try it again. So I'd love if there was some way to change that inherently. I'm not sure whether there is or whether, you know, there's anything we can really do about that. But yeah, I think there's massive potential for games in VR and storytelling in VR. It's just how that kind of gets more mass market is the kind of the issue to tackle, maybe.
Did you get a chance to see many of the other immersive stories that are being featured here at Venice?
I've not had a chance to check out too many. I've been quite busy just having chats with people. Like I say, I managed to check out one or two of the other video game-based things, and that's kind of been about it, really, so far. So I'm hoping to get around to see a few other things before I leave. So, fingers crossed.
Awesome. Is there anything else that's left unsaid that you'd like to say to the broader immersive community?
I don't think necessarily. I mean, Ghost Town is here at the show. I think, well, this will probably be airing after the show, I imagine. But yeah, Ghost Town is out on Steam. It's out on MetaQuest, and it'll be coming to PSVR 2 later on this year. And there will be demos available for it on each platform, I believe. So yeah, other than that, just thank you for having me and taking the time to talk to me today.
Yeah, I really enjoyed playing through the game, and look forward to playing through the rest of it, and also just to see where Fireproof Games goes here in the future. And I feel like there's a really strong understanding of the nature of the affordances of the medium of VR, and to have this combination of a strong emphasis on the world building, on the environments, and introducing the characters and the story. It's really exciting to see how narrative design is also starting to enter into the picture of some of these experiences, because I think it creates a through line that makes it even more compelling to keep going on through to see where the story unfolds. And so, yeah, just Tom, thanks again for joining me here on the podcast to help break down a little bit your journey into the space, but also the process of making Ghost Town. So thanks again.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this Venice Immersive 2025 coverage. And hopefully you found some use in some of this documentation of these experiences that are very ephemeral. And some of these show at these festivals and they don't really go out widely beyond this a lot of times. I mean, maybe they are, but you may not be in a place that it's easy for you to see them. And so it's a real privilege to be able to see all these experiences, but also to be able to sit down with these creators and have a really deep, in-depth conversation in a way that there are not a lot of other opportunities to really dig into at this level. And so really appreciate all the time from all the creators to be able to have these conversations, but also for you to take the time to listen to them. And also, it's been a challenge of trying to find a way of speaking about these experiences in an abstract, theoretical way, or at least in a way that I can ground it and allow you to put yourself into the experiences to kind of imagine some of these different things that they're doing, how I'm experiencing it, but also the different types of design decisions that the creator is making. So if you find this useful and want to support this type of effort of both documenting the history of immersive storytelling, but also to support this kind of wildly ambitious independent journalism project that is very much driven by support by listeners like yourself. So please do consider becoming a member of the Patreon at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.